Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
So look, a frustrating night, but I'm still, like, I'm not worried about the Mets missing the postseason. I'm annoyed that they lost a tight game to the Phillies, and we can break down why they lost that game and the annoying things about it. But I still feel very comfortable in the Mets getting to the postseason and then being dangerous once they get to the playoffs.
Okay, listen, I understand the confidence to an extent, but that's too much for me. But I'm also not going to be completely on the other side and say Mets are done, it's over. But I do think that this could go either way. I really do. Mets are not playing well. The teams that's chasing them right now, the Giants, are playing well. The math is still in their favor, but the recent snapshot, they have not... Like, it's been a while, like, where they just haven't looked crisp, whether it's the National Series where they lost a couple, whether it's the Marlins Series where they lost three. Like, the Mets have been a little iffy for a while here. But I got to tell you why I am worried in one regard, and it's not the conventional regard. I mean, obviously, the offense is not doing a whole lot now. Of course, without the young kids saving the pitching staff, I mean, the Mets would be in tatters right now. Then they would not be a playoff team. I got to tell you, I think something that's been hinted at a little bit this year, I've thrown a few lines in the water, but the more I watch this team in big spots and high-leverage situations, I'm worried about the manager. Now, let me be very clear about this. This is not getting on the air and saying fire Mendoza. I thought he did a really good job last year, and I think that he can grow into a highly above average manager, but the man makes a lot of mistakes when mistakes cannot be made. It's pretty evident, whether it's the bullpen, sticking with a guy too long, or pulling somebody out too early, or not pinch running, or pinch hitting. He's been pretty sloppy, Sal.
Yeah, I don't agree with that. I mean, I think last night in particular, I had a major, major, major issue with pinch hitting Luis Donaldo Acuña, where, now he did it for Cedric Mullins, who, by the way, stinks.
No, like
Cedric
he's been Mullins, terrible.
What, see, that to me is on David Stearns. If the Mets don't go far in the playoffs or for whatever reason don't make the playoffs, it's on Stearns and his acquisitions at the deadline. We all said at the same time, Mullins, what's he really, nothing moved. Meanwhile, Harrison Bader lighting up for the Phillies. Anyway, Mullins can't get a bunt down. They pinch hit for him later in the game, and they do so with the Luis Donaldo Acuña, who I love. I said this to Mendy's face when I went out to Citi Field and spoke to Carlos Mendoza in the locker room. Anyway, I said it to his face. Dude, what do we? And when we actually had him on that next day or whatever that week, dude, when are you going to start valuing defense instead of offense? Like, I want Acuña on this team as a weapon. So I like him for defense late and speed on the bases.
Me too.
Instead, he pinch hits him there. Well, you had Mauricio, or literally pick somebody else. I don't even care who it is. Just save Luis Angel Acuña. He's not a pinch hitter. You want him in the game, especially a one-run game like that, for a pinch running spot, which he burns him as a pinch hitter. Then when a pinch runner is needed, you go with Mauricio, who might be slower than Pete Alonso, and that cost the Mets dearly. So I had an issue with that from Mendoza, but I certainly don't look at him as he's a problem in any way, shape, or form. I love the way that he's handled the bullpen. Last night, Helsley bringing him in the same exact spot that you and I got into an argument with last week. He came through. He looked good. That's the one positive from...
That's a positive. He looked good, Helsley.
It doesn't mean he's going to be great from now on, but that's a big spot on the road. One-run game in that ballpark against that team.
I'm not going to be unfair. Yeah. No, I'm not going to be unfair with that. So last night to me was very confounding. And if it was the first time that this popped up, I'd say, okay, you know, it just didn't work out. Maybe an odd strategy here. But I even go back to, I think that was August 8th here. And I remember talking about it on the air the next day because I've kind of hinted at this. It's never been like Mendoza's awful. That's an unfair, ridiculous, inaccurate take here. But I do wonder if he's enough of an asset to elevate, because there's instances to me where his decision-making's become a detriment. And it wasn't just last night, Sal. You go back to that August 8th game there when Marte, who's had leg issues, has been in and out of the order, is on second base, McNeil with a base hit up the middle, and he gets thrown out by a step out, game over. You had Tyrone Taylor was still healthy at that point, who's got a 95% sprint speed. Marte's about 22, 23. And you just, for whatever reason, didn't do it. And to me, these are layups here. And last night was the most egregious one, because I understand that you can get caught in between looking too far ahead or the other manager has a better night. But to be of clear mind in a massive game where you're running out of time to make, I mean, they're not going to win the division, but you're not thinking that if you're Mendoza, and you send up a guy who's an elite fielder, an elite, you know, base runner, and a below average hitter, and you put him up there to do the one thing that he's not good at. That's a bad move.
Yeah, they were going based off the matchups.
I don't care about the matchups. I'm just saying,
but that's what managers do
nowadays.
Yeah, but
what if he does this in October, Sal? Well, loses you a playoff game.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Is he perfect? No, and I do think he's had a down year, certainly compared to year one where he was great. But the things that I truly value, holding guys accountable, no-nonsense type guy, those things Mendoza does very well. So I value that. Every manager, unfortunately, is going to go by the books and analytics and whatever. Okay, well, Mullins is not going to hit in this spot against a lefty. I'm going to pinch hit with my righty bat. I'm going to trust. But probably the splits on Mauricio weren't very good, so he felt like Acuna. Now, it was not a good move. I thought, as a matter of fact, a stupid move, not having Acuna tied to the bench in case you needed him in a one-run game if somebody got on.
He's a weapon.
You got to know when to use him. Correct. So I thought that was a terrible mistake last night. But if I go over the list of concerns about this Mets team, like Mendoza doesn't even scratch the surface. The offense, yet again, inconsistent, if not flat-out absent. That can't happen. The starting pitching, obviously, the inconsistencies with certain guys in the bullpen, the roster. Like, there, to me, before I get to Mendoza, I've got at least five or six things that are more pressing.
All right, fair enough. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, so I'm going to go back to Joe Torre was not a great manager. With all due respect to the great Joe Torre was good. And Joe Torre was able to take a collection of elite talent, and by the way, keep them motivated, kick them in the ass when they needed to. Joe was hard behind closed doors because it was a different era. But I don't think he was a great, you know, tactician or strategist like Tony La Russa or some of these other great minds of the game. He was not that, okay? And it was okay because the Yankees were so loaded that it worked. The Mets are not loaded, all right? Now, they might be loaded in 2 or 3 years. They're not loaded now. They're hoping, and so far the young pitchers look great. McClellan loved the kid, even with the blister last night battling. He's a stud. But the Mets are not fully loaded right now. This is not the Death Star ready to just destroy the National League and eventually the American League and the World Series. They're not that. So you're going to find yourself in a lot of close games. And I'm going to stand by this. And Met fans, you can attack me. You can agree. 888-808-1019. I'm sorry. I watch every Met game like you guys do. And I see a manager who makes a lot of mistakes when you shouldn't make them.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. It feels like everybody's thinking the division is over at this particular point. Like, I'm not sure what the difference is now than 2 weeks ago. I mean, the Mets were unlikely. Once they lost that game to Atlanta ahead of the Philly series last time, they were unlikely to win the division there. And at this point, 18 games to go, 8 games back. Yeah, the Mets seems impossible. But we'll see what happens. What if they win 3 straight against the Phillies? Then what? Division's going to be back on?
Well, so, I'm not saying they're going to get swept here. No, I mean, I don't know what the heck's going to happen tonight. I'm just saying that the Mendy's got to be better and the hitting's got to wake up.
Yeah, I'm just saying that's the feeling. And then if you take that out, which obviously you would take that out for the most part, then you look at the wild card standings. Giants won again last night, so it's just a 3-game lead now for the Mets for that final wild card spot. Padres won again as well, so the Padres have a 3-game lead on the Mets for the second spot, where the Mets were closing in on them earlier, last week, I guess it was. Jeff is in Oceanside starting us off. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, Jeff.
Hey, good morning, guys. I've called you guys before. Big Mets fan. I don't like Mendy. Mendy was brutal last night. Brutal. And a couple of things. You guys spoke about him. Acuna has to be the pinch runner, not the pinch hitter. Mauricio has to hit where Acuna hit. That was ridiculous. You know Alvarez is anxious and a big swinger. Tell him to go up there. Hey, take a strike. Give him the take sign.
That's not on Mendy. That's on Alvarez. Is Alvarez a major leaguer or not?
No, that is on Mendy.
No, it's not.
You're the manager.
Jeff, that's not on the
manager.
It's not on the manager. It's on the big league player. Carlos Mendoza is going to tell Francisco Alvarez what to do there? No, come on. Jeff, it doesn't work like that.
Because you have to take control of the situation. You have to take control of the situation.
He's the manager. Also, he's not getting in the batter's box. That's ridiculous. I agree with you, Jeff.
You just said it. He's the manager. Don't come up. Let me talk for 1 minute. He's the manager. He has to set the tone. And also, Nimmo should have bunted. Acuna should have been pinch running. BT got it right. Mendy, I think he did a good job last year. He's taken a big step back this year. He seems like the players like him. They play hard. But he doesn't win games for you. You need a manager to win games for you here and there.
What the hell are you talking about? He doesn't win games for you. I mean, is his
first... He lost the game last night for them.
No, he didn't lose the game. Thanks for the call, Jeff. He did not lose the game last night. Jeff wants to get on Carlos Mendoza, and he's saying that he should have done something about Francisco Alvarez at bat. I mean, give me a break.
The Alvarez at bat was one of the worst. That may have been the worst at bat in the major leagues all season. I mean, it, talk about being overmatched. Now, listen, Alvarez just got back, and both hands are jacked up. The pitcher he's going against is a stud. That curveball's nasty, but you will not see three straight swings where you...
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Basically missed by a foot and a half. It was
non-competitive. You know what he's doing? He saw Duran blow away Jeff McNeil,
yep.
And he's going up there saying, give me your best fastball, and I'm going to turn this thing around.
Yeah, but you, and he's pulling the string, and he's outside soft. And
he threw times in a row.
Yeah, and I'm going to defend Mendoza there. Now, you want to tell me, hey, listen, okay, and maybe Mendoza did in his own way, hey, listen, you know, zone in on this, let's not be too loose and expand the zone first pitch here. But I don't think that managers, unless you're down like four, you should know when to take a pitch and when not to. So I think what Jeff said, even though I'm with his larger point that Mendoza has been very spotty this year, very. I don't think it's fair to get on Mendoza for not saying to take the first pitch from Alvarez's at bat.
Yeah, there's a big difference. I think it's fair to criticize any manager, and in this case, Carlos Mendoza, about certain moves that he's made. You want to have concerns about him long term? I don't have to. Whatever, that's fine. That's debatable. What is not debatable is that you can't blame Carlos Mendoza or any manager for any particular player, especially one who's established in the big leagues. You want to say a rookie is in that spot? Then the argument should be, well, you shouldn't let the rookie hit in that spot. You can't blame Mendoza when Alvarez goes out there looking like he doesn't have a clue.
No, I'm not. By the way, I know I want to make sure we get to, I want to get back to these calls, but I want to make sure that we get to the play with Mauricio with the read on the double by Vientos. That's a baseball discussion that I think a lot of people are missing. I want to do it now, but I do want to get to that. I think there's a lot of nuance there. I heard Zeal's explanation, which I don't agree with. We'll get to it later.
Charlie's in Bethpage. What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Charles.
Hey, good morning, boys. Yeah, the inconsistency. September's when they got to start playing baseball. I mean, I would like to take the division, but I just want to see clear baseball. I'm hitting every night. I mean, a couple games we go 10, 11 runs we're scoring, and then we disappear for a week. I mean, it's just no consistency at the bat. Cedric Mullins, what did we get booked for? Bag of balls for him?
Basically.
I mean, that is not the same guy. That is not the same guy who came to Yankee Stadium a couple of years ago playing for Baltimore. No. This is a different guy out there.
He might be finished. He might be done.
It's an automatic out.
He's also trying to find himself here. And thank you for the call, Charlie. Like, it's Cedric Mullins should not be the key to the Mets' struggles here. He's not, but he hasn't helped at all. And at the trade deadline, you're trying to get guys who are going to help. So he's been a total zero. He himself would acknowledge that. We'll see what happens if he even gets more playing time moving forward. But last night, that's my bigger issue. Like, Mendoza was awful last night, specifically with the Acuña thing. But that's not why they lost the game. They lost the game because they can't hit. The Mets all of a sudden can't hit Aaron Nola in Philadelphia in that bandbox of a ballpark?
I don't get it, man.
Come on.
He's throwing 92-mile-per-hour fastballs. That's batting practice stuff right there. He does not throw. We know he doesn't throw hard, but that was an ugly look for the Mets last night. It really was.
You name it, up and down that lineup. Oh, the big bad core four. And by the way, Brett Beatty getting picked off for first base in a spot where Soto was working that at bat against Nola, a spot that I'm sitting there thinking, he's got him here. He's going to hit a two-run homer, hit one in the gap. I know he came back the next inning and struck out. Just a totally different circumstance. You got a runner on in that spot. Aaron Nola to Juan Soto with two outs. Thank you. I'll sign up for that anytime.
Yeah.
And Beatty gets picked off for first. That's inexcusable.
I saw your tweet. And what I didn't understand, and Keith talked about this, I think it's very astute. Like Beta, more and more of these players are taking leads. So think about when you played whatever level you're 10 years old, it doesn't matter. You take your lead off first base and you're parallel to the bag. Now, when you're on second base or third, you get a deeper lead. But these guys now, for whatever, and I'm sure it's analytically driven, of course, one-tenth of a second as you get to second base when you run, they're now taking leads almost where they're going back into right field. So when he dove back into the bag, his arm had more distance to get back to the corner of the bag because he was so far behind the bag.
Yeah, that seems like common sense, right? Get further away from the bag. Like they used to teach us in Little League, the closest, quickest path back to the base. That's what you do. Shortest path back to the
base.
A to
B.
And now, yeah, and now it's the opposite way. And either way, I don't care how many stolen bases the Mets have. That, the first base coach, like in that spot, that's where, instead of saying Mendoza should tell Alvarez how to hit, in that spot, the first base coach's job is to tell Brett Beatty, hey, Brett, I know you know this, but get your ass glued to this first base bag with that guy up. Do not move. I'm like, what good's a lead going to do? I don't want to hear. Until
maybe he's going to steal. I mean, the Mets never get thrown out. Well, I know it's with Soto. I get that. But the Mets never get thrown out by catchers. So if that's what they do, which is what they do, based on the numbers that they have, their first base coach, I know we're getting on him for the lead, but he's been phenomenal. I mean, maybe he was getting ready to run.
Even that, to me, would be stupid baseball. So, and the Mets did that, obviously, last night. John is calling from Wantagh. What's up, John?
I cannot believe Steve Cohen and David Stearns are playing us Mets fans like absolute fools. You want me to elaborate here?
Of course.
They bring up the three guys because they know they have no shot at winning a title this year. And they say to us, well, in their minds, well, if we don't win, look, Mets fans, look what we got to look forward to next year. When have you ever seen a team in a pennant race bring up three rookies? You're going to go with rookies to try to win a championship? Why don't you just come out and say, listen, we have no shot this year. This is what we're going to do.
Why would they say that? Why?
Because BT, you know A well, if they're bringing up these three kids, they had no faith
in
this
John, hold on a sec, John. So if you're in the playoffs, you got a shot, number one. Now, I think the Mets are built to go on a multiple series run to win the World Series? I don't. I haven't thought that all year.
If they would have brought up the one guy, I would have said, okay, you know, he brought up three of them. They're trying
because
to
the other
showcase
guys stink.
Their guys.
If anything, they're giving Mets fans belief and hope because the other guys, thanks for the call, the other guys were so bad that they went into the system probably a little bit earlier than they wanted to give them a chance to win a championship. I would say it's the exact opposite of what he just said.
John, you're clueless on this one. The Mets have had rookies make eight starts in the last, whenever McClain got called up, end of August, that is. Or mid-August. Eight starts. All eight have been, I don't know about quality by the definition.
I think they have been,
The worst one was Tong on Saturday, who went six innings
and
in
battled.
Four
so
runs.
That is a quality start, by the way.
That's what I'm saying. So quality. Eight for eight! So what do you think? They're tanking the season, just saying, hey, dangling the future? No, they're trying to survive. If not for these young pitchers, the Mets would be dead in the water right now.
They would be.
They know it. They're aware of the issues here. They also know they're up against it and that this might not be sustainable. Like, at some point, McClain, Tong, Sproat, like, even the best guys. We saw Max Fried have a rough patch. Like, even the best guys are going to hit a rough patch here. McClain hasn't happened through five starts. Tong been okay through two. Mm-hmm. And Sproat has been one star. Like, they can't continue at this pace, I wouldn't think. And but so far they have, and it's helped the Mets maintain a playoff spot.
And the bottom line is this. You know, the guys who make the big money, and we know who they are, on both of these teams in New York, they better start hitting. They better start hitting again. I mean, the Mets' bats are just way too quiet.
Well, that's why it's just inconsistent. I'm okay with the bullpen for the Mets. And it's going to get better in the playoffs because you don't need six. The Mets have six starters. Like, they can't come up with one good one, but they're going with a six-man rotation. That does not make any sense to me.
And McGill's out. I did see that.
Yeah, well, that's how you know how bad it is that me, who can't stand Tyler McGill, begging for McGill to come back because the guys here aren't cutting it. So they need somebody else. They need another one, but he's not coming back. Point is, in the postseason, assuming that they get there, that gets shortened. So that should also eliminate one of the weaknesses. The offense, though, that's a problem to me because against good pitching, they got overmatched on Sunday. Green with the Reds was blowing them away. And then again, last night, Nola on his game. The Mets get shut down. That can't happen here when they're trying to get a playoff spot.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.